Rich, my man. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, dude. That is good. I mean, I'm super glad we were able to connect today. We've been the cliche, like IG friends for a bit. You post some good stuff, totally aligned with a lot of what you do. My favorite is trolling people on your page and then you kind of trolling people on my page. It's always nice to like share the load, you know. Sometimes yes. I really like when the comment section takes on, I guess I like when other people come out to defend what I said, but it is nice to see those things where I'm like, all right, Vach got my back. I'm like, I don't need to answer this troll. Like, he got it, you know, it's nice. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, of course, man. You gotta watch out for, you know, we gotta stick with each other, watch out for each other. Cause it's rough out here for the
space. Through that.
Yeah.
Let's do that podcast thing. You know the drill. For people that don't know you, and frankly, I don't know a lot about your backstory. I know some things, but I'd really love to hear it kind of from the top. Just your foray into health and fitness and kind of how you got to be a coach and all of those things. I always find that quite interesting. People come from different backgrounds. So go ahead and let it rip.
Yeah, man. So, okay. My name is Vach. I grew up, born and raised Southern California, San Diego, and just growing up, just didn't have the healthiest habits. My parents didn't have, you know, the best relationship with food and all that stuff. You know, it's like, they're just teaching me whatever they learned from their parents, which was not the best, you know, just coming from an Armenian background, the culture, you know, it's all about food and drinks and smoking and, you know, not really caring about, not, you know, the kind of the opposite of what we're going for. So it was really tough. And just growing up, that's why it's one thing when someone says, I know this is completely like going off tangent, but like when people say, oh, like with the whole obesity crisis going on, people just think like, oh, it's just like everyone chooses that they're going just to be obese. It's like, I didn't choose to struggle with childhood obesity. It's just like, you know, my environment and all these things played a role. Did I actually, like, I didn't consciously think as a kid, like, I want to do all these things and like, I want to, you know, struggle with my health. It's like, of course not. I'm just going through life and just whatever's, you know, have access to. And then eventually I got to the point where I graduated high school and I was like almost like 300 pounds. Like my doctor was like, dude, you're pre-diabetic. Your LDL is crazy. Like your cholesterol, like your blood pressure is not good at all. And I'm just like, dude, I'm like 18. Like, these are things you should be telling someone maybe who's a bit older. Like I got scared. I used to eat a whole bunch of fast food. So basically it kind of scared me to the point where I'm like, I don't want to live like this. Like I got to make a change. So yeah, I just decided one day, like I know it doesn't happen for everyone. Obviously it's gradual steps, you know, gradual changes is important. But for me, I was just like, I just flipped a switch or something. I was like, I'm tired of, I can't do this anymore. Like, constantly feeling tired and feeling sick. It's just like, no, like, I don't want to do this. So then I just started, I just like signed up for a gym and then I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to take action. I'm going to do something.
I want to backtrack into like, I don't want to go so deep into the word privilege, but, there is so much there. I mean, there is so much you didn't decide, of like, you know, people who are born into families and it just like, whatever, we can descend into the complexity of the obesity epidemic and how it is, has so many different inputs. You know, of course, physiologically, we understand what's happening. People are eating too many calories, not moving much, of course, but there's so many different inputs there from like how you were raised, and how you were raised has a million different inputs, how your parents talked about their bodies, what their habits were, your genetics, you know, your environment. Did you guys eat food? Did you guys eat like home cooked meals? What sort of meals? How did people talk about food? I mean, the list goes on and on as far as setting people up, you know, for, people say that, all right, you know, you have an X percent chance of being a greater chance of being obese if your parents are obese, but that's not just genetics. That's also the prediction of how much your environment will carry on. can I prod a little bit about what that was like? If you had to look back now, I mean, you're obviously, you know, back then you didn't necessarily know so much of like, oh, that's, you know, that's having such a big input on me on how my family and my culture and my community are, you know, maybe not devaluing, but not valuing like intentional health. And you obviously know a lot about how that will affect children growing up. Now, looking back on that, what are some of the things that jump out to you? You're like, oh yeah, these are some core memories I have that really kind of feel like they represent the path that I was on that led me ultimately to being 300 pounds as a, you know, 18-year-old.
Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, basically, I don't want to blame my family or, you know, people like that. But like I said, with the culture, with the background, no one really caring about their health as much, right? That's not really like something they're thinking about. So growing up, I loved eating different types of snacks. You know, I was all types of food, obviously not the healthy stuff, but like, you know, the highly processed snacks and everything and all. And I was like, I was, everyone knew me for like just being able to eat a mass amount of food. Like, it was actually like, it was to the point where I would actually classify it basically as like binging. Like people were just like, oh, he likes to eat. It's like my family is just kind of like not coddling me, but basically not doing something about it. Like, saying like, oh, maybe you want to ease up on those. Like, that's just like, not like you got to actually like, I don't know, like just it's tough because I didn't have any, it's not like I had money. I had a job or anything. So it's like, you guys are going to feed me whatever you're going to feed me. It's like, if you're letting me do this, I'm going to think it's okay to do it. So I'm going to keep doing it. Right. So I would go over to my cousin's house and all that. And they would just give me all the food and everything. I would just eat everything. And that's how people show love. Like grandma's, you know, cooking for you. Oh, I'm full. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's like, you can't say no to grandma. You know, you got to keep eating. So of course, just the habits, man. And it's just like the way, just eating everything. It's just like, also just to backtrack, like, basically my dad, he passed when I was 12. So that played a huge role. I was like, well, this sucks. I'm just going to eat everything. That'll make me feel better. It didn't. I was just eating everything, and that's when it kind of started. And it's like, my mom had to work doubles because, yeah, like the income is now gone, like half. So she has to work more. So she wasn't there really to cook us meals and everything. So she was like, here's some money. Like, let's just go get some fast food or something. Just get some food. And me and my brother, we would just do that, right? We would eat fast food all the time. And we weren't eating, like you said, we weren't eating dinner as a family. We weren't being mindful. And it was a lot of emotional eating, a lot of just like, you know, like it's just like you said, I think you said this. It was like, or I saw it somewhere where like, basically just that, just like the effect of fast food is so crazy where it's just like that dopamine. It's just like, it just makes you feel better in the moment. And then you just feel like crap. But like in the moment, it's just like, oh yeah, there's something to look forward to, you know? And then that's basically what happened. I would just eat like that all the time to the point where eventually it caught up to me and I'm like, okay, I got to make a change. And yeah.
Yeah. I want to get to that inflection point of you deciding to make a change because you clearly have, but I still kind of want to stick with just to hammer home this point of like, you didn't choose any of these things, you know, and you weren't even, it's not only did you not choose them, but you just like weren't at an age where that level of autonomy and understanding and education was really there. You like, you wouldn't have been able to make a choice back at that point. You were just a kid, you know, probably got like labeled things like he's a good eater and he's got a big appetite. And you were like kind of,
yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah.
He's a big guy. You're identifying with like, oh, I like to eat a lot of food. And it becomes kind of this like identity that you have now. And I just want to hammer home that point of like, yeah, okay, people see like a, you know, somebody in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s struggling with obesity. Like, you don't know what this person went through. You don't know what this person's life was growing up. I have the exact opposite experience, right? We had family dinners and with a whole food, whole nutrient dense foods with a protein and plant on the plate. And sure, I had fast food and stuff, but I'd call it hitting the genetic and environmental lottery. My parents encouraged activity. I played sports and, you know, yeah, we had fast food, but and yeah, all of that stuff. But I look at it as like more of the normal side of things of, hey, I was set up for success with my environment. And I just don't think people think of that. I talk about it all the time where it's like, you shouldn't be looking at like these people, these fitness influencers, these people who kind of look like they have it all together. Most of them have always had it all together. And that doesn't mean they can't help you. I, for one, don't think just because I have never been or struggled with obesity, it doesn't mean I can't help others. But it certainly means that it's certainly not something to look at and be like, yeah, we just gotta stop thinking that people who have it figured out have always had it or overcame something great and just chose to do this and chose to figure it out. And the people who don't have it figured out have made all of the wrong choices along the way. Like, almost certainly a super mega high percentage of obesity comes down to genetics and environment as a child, trauma, you know, socioeconomic status, you know, where you were born, what your parents did. You grew up for the most part without a dad. Your mom was working a lot. Like, just like, it just kills me, the sort of rhetoric. And I don't know if maybe you would agree or not, but I do think we're gently, you know, figuring this out as a society. Like, we're slowly moving towards a greater level of understanding of this. I think we've moved, for the most part, outside of, like, freaking idiots. We've moved outside of this, like, obesity is a choice thing. Like, I think there are choices within this, of course. There is not just, you know, you are not just a product of your environment. You do have choices that you can make. And so that's where I want to turn now. I really want to. And sometimes you might not even have, it's funny, I'm about to ask a really important question, but in some ways you might not have some, like, monumental crazy answer. And I think that that even of, in and of itself, would be an amazing answer of, like, what happened? You turned it around. You're a health coach. You're, like, one of my favorite people on this app. You speak so balanced, such good information. Unfortunately, like, good information isn't as, you know, as prominent. I mean, you still built an amazing following doing it. So what changed for you? I'll shut up now. This isn't about me, but what changed for you? At what age, you know, was there an inflection point? Did somebody say something? Did something happen? Was it gradual? Was it a 180? Tell me about that.
Yes. Okay. Before I say that, I just want to say, dude, I appreciate you. Like, you and anyone who, like you said, comes from a background of, like, you know, seeing fruits and vegetables and all that, like you said, like, growing up in an environment that is, you know,
more positive and
healthy. Like, I just want to say, I appreciate you, like, having that. I don't know how to say this, but, like, it's basically a lot of people in your position or similar position, they, when it comes to people with obesity, like, they just, like, think, like, I don't know, just might think, like, negatively, or just think, like, oh, like, they, I'm better than you or something like that. It's like, it's like, you understand, like, that people come from different backgrounds, but I just know that so many people, they think it's as simple as, you know, the kid who is like, hey, have you tried, you know, maybe just, like, just stop eating, like, you know, stop eating so much. It's just like, oh, yeah, thanks, man.
It's not that simple. Who knew?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, one more thing. Basically, when I would get bullied all the time in school, and I was just like, I'm reflecting on it now, and I'm saying, that is so crazy to me that, like, your parents had a healthy relationship with food, so, like, now you're, like, at a healthy BMI, and, like, you're, like, everything's all good. So, like, mine, I didn't have that success or that luck with my parents, so now I just get, like, made fun of for that. Like, it's kind of crazy where they think, like, I'm doing it by a choice. But anyway, but yeah, but now, you know, I forgive myself for all, I was a kid, like you said, like, it's all good. I made the change now we're at, but yeah, it was, I'll be honest, it was a 180 for me. Like, but here's the thing, that 180, I went basically the all or nothing on the opposite end, which a lot of people called it discipline. They called it, but I was like, it's more like disorder. That's not discipline. Like, yes, I was making those healthy changes, right? Basically, I woke up one day, I was like, I'm going to sign up for the gym. I'm going to just start eating more home-cooked meals. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to chill out with the soda, just making simple changes there. But, like, that's what I did. I woke up, and I was like, I can't keep feeling like this. Like, I got to do something about it. And I would just walk into the gym. I don't know what I was doing. I would just go on the treadmill, put my hoodie on, and put my headphones on, and just do it. And I was just, I saw progress, and I'm just like, I like this. Like, I'm seeing changes. Like, I want to keep going.
What was it, by the way? So, like, you were like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, but you obviously did something with your nutrition too. I mean, was your goal weight loss at the time? Was it, I want to get in shape? Or how did you even figure out what the first step was to make?
Right. Yeah. So I was just like, I want to try to lose this weight, right? Like, that's really all I was focused on. I was like, I'm tired of just not being confident in my body. I'm tired of just having all this extra weight. Like, and I didn't know anything about anything, but I was just like, I know that you're supposed to go to the gym and you're supposed to, you know, eat. I was just like, I don't know, chicken, veggies. And, you know, I just did the classic bro thing, you know, just a whole bunch of lean meats and veggies. And that's what I was doing. But of course, like, I had a lot of friends that were, you know, I would say jacked or fit or whatever, and they were giving me advice. And looking back at it, it's a lot of bro science, but I was like, you know what? I am in no position to, like, I'm in no position to be like, are you sure about that? Because obviously, yeah, you're doing it. So obviously it's working.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just started, and I was just like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to feel good. Like, I'm not supposed to have like joint pain at 18, or like I'm not supposed to get tired like tying my shoe, like stuff like that. It was just incredible. I was like, I can't go back. Like, that's basically it.
So
When
you
people.
live not to go, I want to just before we move forward past that. So you live in Nebraska now. You said you grew up in San Diego, and so
Yes.
you're not in that environment now. So my question is, I'm thinking of your environment. Like, your environment didn't change, right? You're still a part of the Armenian community. And I don't know how much of that you are, but we talked a little bit offline. Like, I have
Yeah.
a close relationship with the Armenian community from back in my day, and there's a ton of food. I mean, listen, I what's funny is, like, a lot of quick backstory is, like, one of my biggest clients ever was a big member of the Armenian community, and she came to me. She lost a lot of weight. Actually, Armenians and Greeks, and they're, like, very similar in the context of, like, very family oriented. Very everything's about food. Everything's about gatherings and food and eating. And there isn't a huge kind of traditional sense of exercise. You know, the kind of in a Mediterranean diet style that people have, like, those kinds of foods and diets on average are pretty solid. But yeah, there isn't, like, a big, in more of an American sense, like a formal exercise. And so I'm just imagining, like, I watched that happen with a lot of my Armenian clients, where they would come to me, we would start to just, whatever, be a little bit more intentional about things, but then they would return to their environment. And that's a challenge, because you're now being intentional about, maybe I need to eat more fruits and vegetables, you know, maybe I need to eat a little bit less of this, and maybe I'm going to try and lift weights. And that can sometimes be a bit odd culturally sometimes. So what happened? You're 18, 300 pounds. You're like, I got to make a change. You know, I'm fed up. I want to lose this weight, but you're still in your environment. You're still in your house with your mom, you know, with your siblings, potentially in the Armenian community, in your community. What did you have to get out of that environment in some way? Or did you, how did the people around you react? Did you have to say, hey mom, like, I really want to start eating like this? Or tell me a little bit about, like, what you did or did not do adjusting your environment.
Yes, that was exactly it. Like, I was like, I got my first job, and I was like, okay, I was working at a grocery store, and I was like, I'm gonna get my money, and like, I'm gonna make my own meals. I'm gonna learn how to cook my own meals. Like, I didn't know how to cook anything, but I'm like, I could put chicken on a pan and, mix it around. I can figure it out. So that's what I did. I was like my mom and like all my family, they would eat the same meal. They would eat their meals that they're eating, and then I would tell them like, hey, like I'm trying to do this thing. So like, basically, I like prep my meals and like labeled it and put it in the fridge. I'm like, this is Vash's food. Like, please, like, I'm like, and honestly, it was like so boring and bland. I don't think they would have even touched it, so I didn't even need to label it. It's just dry chicken and rice. And but yeah, man, I was just like, I need to do this for me. So like, I just started making my own meals, and then we would still like hang out and have meals. But I would just like, let me microwave my thing and like eat it, like. I'm still like here having a good time. Like, I'm just eating something different. That's all it is. There's no disrespect. I'm sure this food is amazing, but I know that like, basically, if I don't do this now, it's like, I gotta do this now. Like, I gotta do this. Like, it was tempting, right? Like, going out with family events, like I would have to be more mindful. I would have to say no, and I've never said no. So when I started saying no to food in seconds and thirds, everyone was like, what? Like, they keep pushing it, but I was like, no, you know what? Like, no, like I gotta do it. And I don't know. I do feel proud of myself for doing that, because it was so hard, man. Like having to look into my grandma's eyes and be like, no, I'm not going to eat that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I've already last few days, like I've already like I need to like stop. Like, I need to get back to it. So yeah, it was really hard in that sense. But I started making my own meals, and I said, like, this is just what I'm gonna do. Like, I just and of course, like at that time, there was no responsibilities. Like, I just had a job, and like I didn't really, so I was like, I had the time to set a time to just kind of go in on this. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did it. Because it was the best decision I made. And then it was the hardest decision ever. Like, that feeling of hunger, your stomach rumbling in a deficit, never felt that in my life. Because every time I was hungry, I was just like, eat something, right? I didn't like that feeling. So I had to like get used to that feeling. And I was like, dude, I have like 80, 90 pounds to lose. Like, this is gonna be a long deficit. So I'm just like, I'm gonna put my head down and just do it. It was a little over like 14, 15 months. basically of like almost every week in a deficit. And yeah, it was the hardest thing I did. But then everyone was like, oh my gosh, what's the secret? What's this? What's that? And I'm just like, it's no secret. Like, I just have to, it's no secret. I just have to keep doing the things I've been doing, you know? It's not easy though. I think everyone, all my, you know, and it was kind of crazy. Like my family and my friends, everyone's like treating me different or like talking to me different. I'm just like, which is like, I don't know. That's a whole nother thing. But like, okay, now they care. Like now they want to talk. Like now they want to know. They're like, oh, this guy did it. Like someone did it in the family, right? And they're all asking me for tips and tricks. And I'm just like, yeah, I can help you out. But you know how it is. Like it's, they don't want it bad enough, bro. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not that. It's hard, right? It's different for everyone. Like for me, doing a complete 180 and just doing it, like that's not how it works for everyone. I know that.
Can I
Like
stay on that for a sec?
I
Actually, this
promote that.
180 thing, where like, so you did a kind of, we'll call it a 180. You know, I'm sure it was like, I'm sure, whatever. Let's pretend like it was this like clean slate day 99, you were like this, and then day 100, you were a totally different person. But let's pretend like it was like exactly like that for a second. I know that what you were kind of about to say was like, hey, I make sure not to assume that's how it's going to go for everybody. I'll just put a counterpoint out there that I think we also need to be open to the idea. Like a lot of people preach, nothing wrong with this, by the way. I preach it as well. Like small changes. Don't try and make these big changes all at once. Let's try and incorporate. And we're going to talk today about some like big ROI habits. You know, little things that can have a big impact. And I'm on board with all that. And I think for a lot of people, we even see it in the research. We're like, it depends on the person, how many things or how big of a change they should make at once to be the most successful. But I want to leave the door open for people who do what you do. We can shame both ends of the spectrum, I think. I think some, you know, from fat shaming to fit shaming. And when I say fit shaming, I mean you kind of making this 180. There are some people out there who do better with bigger changes. They do better with, and that stems everything from a larger deficit that gives larger return, that goes from like wanting to do a lot of things all at once. That comes down to like when you and I do one-on-one coaching, we're trying to help somebody find what's going to be the best strategy for them. But I've actually seen the whole gamut. I've seen people want to make inch by inch incremental changes that really do compound over time. But I've also seen people be like, I don't know what a calorie is. And I've gone in the first month from like not knowing what a calorie is to like tracking and lifting and walking and sleep hygiene, totally changed their life. And so I also don't want to poo-poo that what you did might work for some people who feel in that moment that they make a 180 like that. Like you're not the first and you won't be the last person to make a lot of change all at once. It comes with its own bag of kind of whatever. Every approach that you have has pros and cons is all I'm saying. And so I just wanted to leave that door open because I've seen, you know, and again, in the research, you know, even things like low calorie dieting versus very low calorie dieting, we actually see adherence improve with very low calorie dieting. And, you know, it's not a mystery as to why. It's because people are making results that fuels motivation, that fuels adherence. And so, yeah, I just wanted to poke that out there. I did want to circle back to you said people started to not necessarily, maybe, but not necessarily, I don't put words in your mouth, treat you differently. But what were some of those like early moments that you recall, people starting to recognize that you were changing? Was it what was like immediate family? Like, I'm just saying this because I know that immediate family is probably what matters most. I think that as you like imagine yourself as like the inner circle, and then you have like these circles that go out in terms of your relationship with people, but like inner circle, spouse, sibling, parent, that's like the most important thing. Were they, and I usually look at this in a couple ways. Like, were they actively encouraging you? Were they like, man, I got it. I have active support. Then there's passive support where it's like just not being a dementor, where it's like, hey, you're just not giving me shit about this. And you're just like kind of letting me do me. And that's more like a passive support where it's like, hey, at least as long as you're not like saying shit and, you know, being intentionally negative. And then we have dementors that are like saboteurs that are like, you know, projecting their own, you're making them feel insecure. So now they're projecting and it's trying to mess you up. And so where did you feel like your immediate surroundings were on that spectrum?
Yeah, so look, I want to preface this with like, okay, I love my family, I love my mom, love my grandma, like I love all these people, but like the way Armenian people like they talk, like people's body is like the center of the conversation, like and commenting on people's bodies, commenting on people. So just out of pocket shit like that you wouldn't normally, that's not PC, whatever, you wouldn't say it, but like there's no filter, right?
Yeah, no
They don't
filter.
care.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, like, you don't care. Like, how, like, they don't know that all those things you said, I'll never forget. Like, it's just kind of crazy. Like, that's why now it's just like, I don't make comments on people. It's 'cause like that, they don't need to hear that. They probably already think about that about themselves. Like they, so when I first started, I think it was a mix of both, like mix of all three, honestly. 'Cause like, you know, people would make jokes and be like, oh yeah. Oh, Vach, like, oh, right. You can't eat this lavash bread. Like, you can't eat bread, bro. I forgot. And I'm just like, I can eat bread. Like, I'm trying to be healthier. Like, I could still eat bread, but I'm just not gonna eat a whole bunch of it. It's just like, but yeah, stuff like that. Or like, we would go out to eat and like maybe there was a buffet or a brunch buffet or whatever, and everyone, and then like people would just be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm sure Vach is gonna go hit the gym and burn this off. Like, I'm sure, like, oh, cheat day, all this stuff. And I'm just like, why is it about me? Like, why can't we just sit here and just, why am I being brought up? Like, yes, I want to live a longer, healthier life. Like, that's cool. I decided that. We all know that. Like, why are we keep like, I don't know why it has to be like, I don't know. I
Did you
don't know
ever
why it
say
has to
something?
be.
Did you ever get to a point where it was like, you know, not maybe in a, maybe in an angry way, but like maybe in just like a totally neutral way? Like what I think of like what people's spouses are dealing with, just dealing with, let's say, a less supportive spouse, like something about open. Like sometimes you can just do you because you didn't at the time have a spouse and you were going to go on and grow out and make your own family, make your own environment. So you kind of probably knew that in your head that like, yeah, this isn't like my forever place I'll be. Yeah, of course, your family and your community, you're always going to be a part of that. But like, it's, did you at some points, did you like say, hey, I'm just not even going to, I'm not even going to go there with these people for now. I'm just going to do me? Or did it come to a point where like, maybe with somebody or somebodies where it was like, hey, I got, you know, maybe some sort of direct communication of like, hey, this is how this is making me feel? Or did you just kind of, you know, grit and bear it through it?
Yeah, basically, I was just like told my mom, I was like, because I live with my mom, my older brother, and my sister, and my mom's boyfriend, and she was just like, and they were supportive, but I was just like, yeah, to the point where I was just like, yo, you guys can eat whatever you want, like I'm just going, like let me just eat my meals, let me just hit my workouts, you know, and like we're gonna be all good. Like I just, yeah, I had to tell. Yeah, like my grandma, like you said, like it was an uncomfortable conversation, or telling my mom, it's like, yo, I'm sure this is amazing, you know, but all that oil and butter you use, like, I don't know, like I just need to, you know, be more mindful. And she was kind of understanding of that. But yeah, she was just like it was funny. I called her the first time, or she called me the first time I went to the gym. She's like, hey, where are you at? You're not at home. And I'm like, oh, I just finished up at the gym. And she was like, we don't belong to a gym. And I said, we don't belong to a gym, but I belong to a gym, right?
It's awesome.
$9.99 a month. Let's go.
Yeah, man.
And I was
Nice.
like trying to get her on. I was like, yeah, we can all do it, you know? And she was like, yeah, you know, I'll think about it. I'm like, all right. But I'm like, yeah, you know, I was like, and trying to get my brother into it too. Because me and my brother, like we basically, we were close, but we were close, but like, we basically did the same thing. Like just, you know, going, getting fast food late night, you know, that's kind of how we bonded, just eating a whole bunch of crap and just like hanging out, playing video games. And I think he started noticing and he started making some changes. And everyone kind of, I would like to think that I had some sort of positive influence. I wasn't one of those people who was actively like, what are you doing? What are you eating? Like, don't touch that. I just kind of kept to my own and said, I'm going to do me. If you guys need help or advice, like, I'll always be here. You already know. But yeah, I'm not gonna try to push it onto you. I'm just gonna do me, and maybe someone will take notice of that.
How
But
has
yeah.
that changed now? Because you're no longer the 18-year-old kid who, you know,
Yeah.
probably didn't know everything, but was like, hey, I probably need to eat a little bit less hyper palatable, yummy food, maybe a little bit
Yeah.
more fruits and vegetables and stuff. But you're not that person now. You're subject matter expert, like nutrition professional, like really like know what the hell you're doing, like made a living, making a living out of this stuff. Like, so yeah, you're no longer that kid who was like, I'm not gonna eat that, you know, whatever you guys were eating, you know, the yummy dessert that grandma made or whatever. You're now, you know, a real subject matter expert, somebody who does this for a living, just really, really knows what he's talking about. Do you find, again, another progression in like how people have treated you or how they talk about, you know, you or ask you questions or, you know, have you had the sort of positive impact on people or even negative impact or, you know, how have things changed now that you're like, you know, whatever, not the kid who lost weight, you are the fitness professional helping, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other people.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate that. Like that's it's crazy. I would have never thought this like when I was that kid, like you said. But dude, like I think it was even last week. I had a buddy that I used to work in an office. Like I used to do some digital marketing stuff for local businesses. Dude, a homie of mine, like he reached out to me randomly and he was like, dude, I'm so glad you found your, you found your kind of niche here, like in terms of like your passion of helping people with nutrition. And he was saying that like my posts were inspiring. Like, dude, when people say that, it kind of blows my mind because I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm actually out here helping people. It's like, but yeah, I'm just trying to be the person that I didn't have. Like, I didn't have this like sensible evidence based. It was just kind of like, what was it 2015, 2016? There wasn't a whole lot of it was limited, the flexible dieting, not a whole lot out there. But yeah, no, I like my cousins or my friends, like some people will reach out to me and just like they'll be like, oh, let's ask Vaj like about this. I'm like, okay, I appreciate that. Like, that you trust in, you trust in me that I kind of know what I'm talking about. It is frustrating when sometimes, people I know they don't believe what I'm saying. But it's like I don't share like anecdote. I really don't share a lot of anecdotal evidence. Like I don't like the stuff I preach is not just like, oh, it worked for me. That's what I try to stray away from. I don't do that. Like a lot of people nowadays, they're just like, I lost a bunch of weight. Let me pick up my phone and start saying what worked for me when it could be the craziest thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes sharing those things, like what worked for me, it's like on my journey, I made so many mistakes, like the worst mistakes, the mistakes I tell people not to do now. So that's the whole reason why I made my page. It's to help people. It's like, don't do those things. Because as much as I was so disciplined on my journey, there were times where I was so restricted where I wouldn't have that piece of cake or I wouldn't have that. It's like looking back at it, I could have had that and it would have made no difference. It really wouldn't have made any difference if I just understood more about this. But hey, we live and you learn, Now, I mean, got it figured out now. So not tripping too much. Yeah.
Cool. Let's transition to you as a coach here. Let's talk about some of the traits of your most successful clients. And I think successful in and of itself is multifaceted. And there are a lot of different ways that I'm sure people come to you and they find success in a lot of different ways. Could be fat loss, could be just mental health, could be improving in relationship with body and fitness and food and all that stuff. And so what are just some of the things, because that's such a loaded question, because again, needs to define successful. And you have a lot of different clients with a lot of different goals, but what are some of the things that jump to mind, or just one, we can go back and forth, that jumps to mind when I ask that question?
Yeah. No, so the first thing that comes to mind is it's just the self-sabotage, it's just minimizing that all or nothing mindset. And obviously, we work with a lot of yo-yo dieters, so people usually women who in 30s and 40s and who have been struggling with this for decades, right? Or years and decades. A lot of it is just not, they're just trying to ditch that perfectionist mindset. So like slipping up on a Friday night, right? Saturday and Sunday, like, oh, it's a wash, right? Like, no, like just get back to it on Saturday morning. Like get back to it as soon as possible. Like it obviously they're all used to, oh, okay, Friday was a crapshoot. So Saturday and Sunday, I'll just start on Monday, right? Instead of getting back on that Saturday, I think that's the biggest thing is learning that habit of getting back to your routine like as soon as possible. Like, because it's just like you say, it's like it's not like it's never that one night. It's never the one slip up. It's like what happens after. Like it's your response. It's like, what are you gonna get back to it? Right. That's one. And the other thing is a lot of mindset stuff, like just believing in yourself and knowing that you can do this and just like saying to yourself, like just staying positive, but also like acknowledging like you can do hard things, right? Like this doesn't, this is going to be hard, but it doesn't have to be so painful. And like a lot of people think like we will ask simple things from our clients, like, simple habits, let's start with one habit for a couple of weeks and then get the ball rolling and switch to another habit. And the workouts, still pushing themselves, still pushing them, but it's nothing that, these boot camps and stuff that they're used to sweating so much and just going so crazy. They're like, is this actually working? Is this effective? I'm like, yeah, you're not actually supposed to be completely exhausted, you know, after your workout. And, you know, you can actually eat food, you know, like you don't have to eat like carrots and, you know, celery and just that's it. Because I know that all these low calorie diets and stuff, like you said,
with the carrots are good though, man.
I love carrots, terrible podcasting behavior,
but it is what it is, man. Carrots are good.
Oh yeah, no, I used to eat carrots in the office. They're just crunching, and everyone's looking, and they're like, "Dude, what is this guy doing?" I'm like, "Hey, get with it, man. We're on the carrot gang." But I would say getting back to your normal routine. That's probably the biggest one. But also just like reflecting, like we do check-ins right every week. A lot of the times, you know, if they have an off week or something happens, they want to run and hide and say like, I don't want to do my check-in this week. It's like, no, this is the best time to check in. Like, we need to know, like, look, we can give you all the tips and tricks and we have the messenger available. We have all these things, but at the end of the day, like we're not there with you. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on in your brain. Like, we're not psychics. We need to know. The more you give us, the more information, the better, so we can help you. Because this isn't just like, it's not just like, here's a meal plan, check in with me. It's like, no, we actually want to work through these things. Like, we want to make sure that this is the last program, last thing you need. Like, we want you to be good on your own. That's the goal. So we're just trying to help them kind of see the big picture throughout the journey, you know, and not just focus on like, yeah, just need your before and after pics and we'll be all good.
Hey, we don't even need those. We can just get up, fire up Photoshop and just hit the little snatch tool and you're good, man. You crazy. You show up on Goob like a week later though. But
Yeah.
One of the ones that feels like really, you know, this traits of your most successful clients, right? You could be, the people who hit their calories and hit their steps all the time. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. Like, I'm talking about things that I can tell within the first couple of weeks of working with somebody that I think are going to project long-term that don't, it's not like, oh, you filled your tracker in and you like hit your calories for 3 weeks. It's like that doesn't actually tell me what's going to happen over the next 6 months. I'd say one of the ones that really means a lot to me, I think, just from, if we can get through that, then I'm pretty hopeful is running your own race, is getting out of the comparison, because I think there's such, especially with people who track their calories, there's just like everything people think about what they're doing is all bounced off a reference point of what other people around them have done. And whether that's social media or people in their immediate environment, like what people think about their calories compared to what they should be eating and how much they're losing compared to how much they should be losing and how they should feel compared to how they should feel. And all of those shoulds are built on, again, bouncing that off of your like subconscious ingestion of your visual diet on social media and what coaches have said and all these before and afters and other people's experiences, which are, you know, riddled with either lies or, you know, extrapolations of the truth. And, you know, people around you that you don't know how truthful what they are saying is or how long they've actually sustained the results that you heard about this one time. And I just like everything down to like the absolute calorie number that people eat or the how hungry they are feeling or how fast they are losing. Like if you can just put the fucking blinders on and forget, you know, about where you came up. People are like, oh, I only lost this much. I'm like, well, where did you come up with the idea of how much you should be losing? And whatever that answer is usually not rooted in science. It's rooted in, it's what I hear. And, it's what my friend did. Or, this is what I lost when I was on this diet years ago. And it's like, put the blinders on, man. Like, you're running your own race. I'm not saying that, like, just because you're running your own race that we're never going to have to change anything. But we're not going to change anything because we're relating it to what somebody else has experienced. Like, we might change things, but it's all based on you and your biofeedback and your lifestyle and your assessment of the trade-offs and value structure and what's important to you and your, like, the things, your non-negotiables. And, man, if the clients that I think do really well are the ones that can just ask themselves questions about how things are going and answer it only based on within themselves and not like, oh, I'm eating this many calories. And it's like, all right, well, how do you feel? And if you can answer that question without thinking, well, I should feel better because I heard it from this person or this many calories, it shouldn't really be that low. Or if you can just kind of stay within yourself and what you're doing, it's going to be a whole lot better. And I could go on, I've been on huge rants about that before with the calorie numbers in absolute. I think a lot of people, almost self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't want to say it's all in your head. That's super condescending, but like a lot of people would be less hungry and less uncomfortable and less kind of bothered by what it takes if they just looked within themselves. Most people get most bothered, I think, because they're eating less than they think they should based on XYZ experience that doesn't actually have anything to do with them, doesn't extrapolate to them and their experience and lifestyle and genetics and all that stuff. And the people that are like, hey, like, I'm going to take into account how I actually feel. I'm not going to reference what Susie in accounting is doing or what this before and after picture said from somebody else. Just going to stay running my own race. I just think that they do incredibly well and it's not always easy, by the way, and I'll shut up after this rant, but like, it's not always easy. And I think we can get into that. It's a very positive headspace, I think, to just keep it about you. And sometimes some things creep back in. You see something, somebody says something, you see a post, see a person. And so I want to keep that door open. It's not always going to be that way, but the more you can keep those blinders on, fuck what everyone else is doing. Do what you need to do with your coach. I think it's important that you work with somebody in some capacity. Keep the blinders on. Make changes to what you're doing based on what you think's important, what is worth it to you, and you're just going to do a whole lot better.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. Like, the comparison game, it's huge, especially, like you said, on social media. Like, I try to remind my audience, it's like, people don't actually look like how they actually, no, they're not actually looking like that. People are editing their stuff. Like, yeah, like you said, put the blinders on and yeah, just like put your head down and do you. Like you said, trust in your coach, trust in your plan, like trust in yourself that you can do this, right? And it's just like you said, like a lot of people like, oh, like, I don't know where they got this 2 pounds, like dude, 2 pounds of fat loss per week. That's like 1,000 deficit, like a day. I promise you, you're not. I mean, you could, but I don't think you are. I don't think most people are actually, because if you are, like you'll know. That's why, I don't know. I've been seeing people like, oh, lose up to 2, 3, 4 pounds. It's like, well, probably water weight, but it's definitely not fat. Because, it's just like, oh, yeah, the word only too. Like, oh, I only lost this much. It's like, no, you got to give yourself credit. That's why I don't like that word. I get it, though. I get it. Like, yes, like you want to see quicker results. But it's like you've done that so many times in the past. Like, we're trying to not do that. We're trying to not do that. Like, this is different. Like, this is a different type of approach. It's kind of a long game. You know, it's going to take a little while. But that's really the only way to keep the weight off. Like, that's what I care about. Like, I don't care about every single person, almost every single person that has come to our program, the coaching. It's like, oh, I've lost 50 pounds and I gained it back, maybe even multiple times. Like, I want to make sure that you don't have to worry about that. And I truly believe the only way to do that is to obviously keep doing what you were doing. But like, in order to make those things stick for life, like, you got to just really focus on the habits and like make it part of your lifestyle. Like, you can't just willpower or motivate your way through this for your whole life. Like, the goal is to do this for life. So it's like, slow down. It's like, where are you going? What's the rush? Right. I think that's the biggest thing. It's just like, and I love seeing that from just seeing like in the check-ins or just seeing changes in the way they talk to themselves or the way they're talking in general. It's just like, education is a big part, but also just having that empathy, you know, and just kind of having someone support them. And I think that's something that's special to me. I think like being on both sides, I think that's like a superpower, at least for me, being on both sides of the extremes and then finally being in a good space in the middle. So I can kind of like say like, oh, what didn't work for me personally or like what I've seen. But yeah, like I do think that spinning that, I don't know, because I had a very disordered way of eating in the past, both ways, right? Healthy way and the unhealthy way. So yeah, I think that comes in handy and just like being able to have different perspectives and be like, doesn't have to be all or nothing, you know?
Yep. Let's pivot. We got a couple minutes here. I want to talk a little bit about, you have a big following and you know, like we talked about at the beginning, we just have had a good experience, like, you know, just fighting the trolls on each other's page, which has been good. But I was having a thought, I was out for a walk this morning and I was just like thinking about what to write for my newsletter. And I was wondering like, this like metaphorical battle with misinformation that we're fighting. I say we as like people who care about putting out good, helpful, evidence-based information. And I was like, are we winning that battle? I feel like the battle is fought on three fronts. Two fronts, three fronts. One of the fronts is just putting out good information. It's like, hey, I'm just going to put out quality. I'm going to do my best to put quality information out there into the world, and I'm going to hope to skew or tilt the scales in the direction of what's good and what's pseudoscience. The second is debunking bad information. And the third is people taking individual responsibility for what they consume. And I think that there, so two of those are on content creators. The other one is on a content consumer. And I think that if we're going to win this battle, I think all three of those are valuable. Do you feel we're trending in a more positive direction, a more negative direction? And what's been your experience with a large account putting out information consistently? Does it feel sometimes like you're winning, like you've created an environment that's positive and that you're having a good impact on people? Or do you feel like, man, do you ever get down about like that we might be fighting an uphill battle, like trying to actually help people?
Oh yeah. No, like, okay. My thing is I'm doing a lot better with it, but like at first, like it's crazy. I could see there's so many positive comments and I'm proud of the community we built up on Instagram. And it's just like, I know I'm helping more people than I'm hurt. Like, I don't think I'm hurting it. I don't think my information can be hurtful, but it's just, I would like to, like, I look at the negative comments and I'm just like, I'm not trying to give my energy to that. Like, I'm trying to focus on the positive stuff. But I will say this, dude, like, I see all these videos blowing up of these people in the grocery store. And I'm just like, when I see that, and when I see thousands of comments and shares and people saying stuff like, okay, I'll avoid this now, or, oh man, that sucks, I really like this food, I guess I won't eat it now. Like, I'm like, dang, they're winning. Like, they won. Like, dang, like all these, like, look at these videos of people saying, oh, don't eat this because of this ingredient. It's like, and it just gets millions of plays. And then like someone says something about, hey, you know, moderation, and then it gets nothing. And I'm just like, ah, when that happens, I'm just like, it's frustrating because we all know that the misinformation spreads way quicker than actual information, which is so lovely. But yeah, it's just everyone's parroting. It's basically everyone's just copying whatever the Bobby, you know, the Flav City, whatever they're doing. Like, don't eat this food. Like, there's all these pages blowing up. Don't eat this food. Don't eat that food. And it's the same thing. They're saying the same thing, you know, with the canola oil and all that. And I have a question for you. Like, how do we, you know how people make those videos where they stitch the, you know, they have the video up. You've done this, you know, and then of course, like Eric Roberts, he does a great job with that too. A lot of people do it, but it's just like, how do we do this without like tearing them down? Should we tear them down? Should we not tear them down, but maybe use their video and just use it as like a, I'm not trying to tear them down, right? But like, how do we, or should I not even do that? Like, should I not do that approach? Should I just straight up make a video saying, oh, this is, you know, this food actually isn't bad for you? I don't know.
You can, like, you can go straight up through my, not that anybody should do this, but I have a few buckets of styles of content that I do. And one of them is just me giving good information. And so that's like today, like on hard pills, you need to swallow, whatever. But it's just me talking, no reference to anyone else. And then there's another post where I'm referencing somebody else's claim and I'm going to use that as a platform to educate. And I'm going to do it my best without attacking that person, you know, for sure. It's not about that person. It's about that claim. How can I use that as something that people have heard to then educate? Those posts always do better. And I'm not saying that that's like some like not great way about going about social media. I think it's a great way. I actually learn a ton when somebody takes a claim that like, I'm like, oh, like Lane does this, you know, he's like takes a claim or something somebody says. And he's like, hey, I'm going to spend a minute talking about that. And then I'm going to spend 5 minutes educating you on the correct version of this. And I think that that's really great. I'm, you know, you said without tearing them down. And I think that that's fine, by the way, that's awesome. I'm not about ad hominems. I'm not about attacking the person. But like, I'm a little bit like, this kind of makes me laugh because I have some really smart people that I feel have mentored me. And a lot of them have said things like, hey, I can still be friends with you even if we disagree. And I'm like, I feel a little bit more pissed off than that. Like, I don't know if I could be friends with you if you're making videos scaring people on the internet about. I'm a little bit like one tiny like standard deviation towards the direction of like, if you're doing that, like, I don't care if I'm tearing you down. Like, if you watch my content, I'm not trying to tear people down. I'm certainly not. And that's something I go into my writing my scripts with where I'm like, I'm not trying to make it about this person. But like, I also like, in a lot of ways, these are bad people. Like, not all of them. Not everyone is out there to be a bad person, but like, I know, a good or bad person. We're getting into like some kind of morality stuff, some ethics stuff, but like, I'm not worried about tearing down somebody who is giving hundreds of thousands of people food anxiety, orthorexia, exactly, some combination of orthorexia and just completely fucking up the landscape of what health and nutrition is. And so I'm not worried about, like, you suck. And so like people, some people suck and yeah, okay, you can go the righteous path, but like, we need to win this battle. So whatever. I'm not here to tear anyone down, but like, I'm also not bothered if somebody with like million followers is saying stuff that I think is a big net negative in my field. Like, it bothers me. And like, you're not in my opinion, not an ethical person. And so that's like, I'd say, you know, some people are like, you could still be friends with people if you just, I can disagree over stuff that like, you like the spring and I like the summer, we can still be friends. But like, you being like, seed oils are inflammatory and they're the reason that people are obese and they're killing you. And it's like, no, I'm not sure I can be boys with you if you are like completely devoid of being able to read research or whatever, not read research, but like, whatever, you're fear-mongering stuff that doesn't, you're harming people, whether you know it or not. I'm not down with that, is just what I'll say.
Yeah, no, bro, you were literally so spot on. Like, me struggling with orthorexia, like the hell I went through, I'm like, dude, these videos are literally promoting that, and that pisses me off because I don't want anyone to have to go through that because it was actual hell. Like, it sucks. Like, the food anxiety, that it sucks, man. Like, I'm so glad that I don't have it anymore, but it just ruined my mental health. And I'm like, these videos are doing exactly that. So it's exactly that. It pisses me off. And I just want to just tear it. I just sometimes I just like now what they're doing, here's what they're doing. I was going to make a video on this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Basically, they're saying, oh, don't eat these protein bars on the shelf here at the grocery store. And then they'll promote the product that they're sponsored by. I'm like, that is so scummy to have to. That's how you're marketing. You have to demonize certain products and then to make yours shine. That's kind of crazy. Like, you have to do that. Like, dang, like, there's no morals or anything. And all the comments, I'm glad that they're roasting them sometimes. Like, hey, like, buy the thing I'm associated with and I get money from. It's like, yeah, right? Of course you're going to promote that one. It's just so sad because like, all these videos and the accounts are popping up, but also like, then we got people like Dr. Ids, right? The savior, like, I don't know, like, he's getting so much publicity and everything, which is so great. And like, his book and everything, like, I hope that goes well. And like, people need to hear this guy. Like, he is that gives me hope. So in terms of like trending in the right direction, I think we are, but all I thought about this the last few days, I'm like, if we are, if we aren't, all I can do is just keep showing up and keep doing it. Yes, it's like, I can't. I feel like every day I don't post or every day I don't do something, they're winning. Like, the diet code, like that, they're going to do it. They're going to post. They're going to post their stuff. It's like, I don't know. Just got to keep showing up. And it's just incredible to me that, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just with the morals and stuff, it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, just it's ridiculous what it is now. But like you said, just got to keep showing up. And it's just something simple, like, dude, like that picture I posted with the walking with the with the bar graph.
Yep.
Everyone, I love that. Like, everyone was like, yeah, walking. All the comments on there, everyone was like, walking saved my life. Walking changed my life. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly it. Like, that's what I love to see, you know? It's just like positive stuff like that, simple stuff. But also, yeah, with the nutrition side, it is a whole different thing.
I try and keep it net positive, but I definitely get like a bit of like, well, I'm not so sure I can be boys with you if you're like telling people vegetables are killing you. Like, I definitely, no, I'm sorry, I draw the line with like, you know, just like, I don't know what we would be friends over. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not down with that, you know?
Like, no, yeah, because like, dude, also like in the back of my mind, I'm going to be thinking like, bro, this guy actually think, listen, I'm going to be eating, I'm going to be drinking some sort of diet pop and he's going to be like, no. Yeah, no, I like that. When people are like, I'll still be friends with you. Like, you know, they bring up like politics or like something crazy, like different, like total opposite. And it's just like, that's, you know, and pineapple on pizza, you know,
totally. And politics is different. Politics could be one where I think that there, a lot of politics is opinionated. you know? And so like people with different opinions on stuff is one thing. And even then there's, I'm sure there's a line, you know, but like CETO as being inflammatory just isn't an opinion. It's not, it's a fact. Like it's just
no, right.
You know? So yeah, I'm with that. Yeah. All right. Let's put a pin in that. I don't want to keep up too much of your time. Yeah. Do the old, no, you know, please. the old outro thing where, you know, tell people where you can find, where they can find you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can find me. I mean, on Instagram, that's been mainly where I'm at. Vach Shakarian. Type in Vach, V-A-T-C-H-E. Maybe I'll show up. This guy's username was just Vach, and I wanted that, but I didn't get it. But yeah, no, that's where you could find me. I'm on TikTok too. I'm trying to get on there. I don't know. Have you been get on the TikTok? No, dude, not it's much. Too many. There's so many things. So it, much. It's just too many things. I know. Yeah,
it's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like, oh, I just need to do Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. But yeah.
I'll post all that in the description, man. I appreciate you coming on. Yeah, thanks for your time, brother.
Thanks, man.
I will see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.